recording.
Are we starting now? I thought it was starting at 10.
No, we're starting early.
10 my time.
Yeah. Throwing me off.
I said, can we start at 8? Someone want to check the sound?
Not really.
So far, it sounds good to me.
So far, it sounds good.
I'm really echoey. And so is Andrew.
Yeah, it just became a little echoey.
It just became a little echoey?
Yeah.
Yeah. How do I fix that?
Might be because you're hearing it somewhere, I'm not sure.
It's not.
No,
I know, I'm so bad at the sound. That's why I do sound checks. So bad at it. I wonder if...
And of course we're muted like we always are.
Yeah, why wouldn't we be muted?
It seems to be fine.
Doesn't, yeah.
I don't know what it does. I don't know why it does these things.
Alabaster
Austin Free. Why does it echoey
things and stuff?
Is that better?
Still echoey. No, not at all.
Still echoey.
How about that?
I'm eating in the cave right now.
Is that better? Let me know.
Is this another cave stream?
It might be a cave stream. I don't think I can... I don't think I can fix it.
Come on, man. You've done this before.
I know. It's because
I do not know what the issue is.
I know. I'm so bad at this crap. let's just be.
It's just Streamlabs.
We'll just do Echo Cave stream today.
But I don't know why it does this. Is it still being echoey?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Is it? Keep talking.
It's Alabaster Austin Tree.
Things
still echoey
and stuff.
Oh no, we don't talk about the stuff.
I talk about the stuff.
I think it stopped.
I think I figured out the problem. I think I actually figured it out. I'm so good.
Okay, you fixed it.
All right, I'm ready to go. I think we're ready to go. The Feelings Talk Show. With C4, Sarah Vike, and Sadiac, Sir Jeremy, and the great Grease Goblin. Special guest, Darth Mollet. I am in a choir. Hello and welcome all to the Villains Talk Show. I am, of course, your host, C4. Beside me is Sarah Vike. Further down is the Great Grease Goblin. Kitty Gordon to me is Insaniac. Finally back. And finally, in the far corner, is Sir Jeremy. And we are your villains for the Villain Talk Show. We talk about... We are villains, and we talk about crap.
I never knew.
Below me is our special guest. Today's guest is a man named Darth Mollet. He was a part of last stream, and we decided because he was so learned and adding such great robustness to the conversation that we'd bring him on and. I had some time to talk with him, and so today's topics are groupthink and political correctness. Because...
Oh, boy.
Oh, exactly. Right. Welcome to the future, children.
They know what half that means. except for
oh, the don't time. Worry. I will definitely define. Yeah, make sure you follow us on, you could support us on Patreon if you wanted to, Patreon Minion Hub. I would suggest just do it for free, justlikeness.com. Download the app. It's free. It's just a free app that we made. It's a free app.
Follow
this channel, or follow Insaniac, who has his own Twitch at twitch.tv/Insaniac. And
as well as YouTube.
And welcome back, everybody. I get to say that now. Welcome back, people. Thank you for coming. Like I said at the beginning, our topics today are groupthink and political correctness. Obviously, they're a little more teased out than that. But essentially, what we're going to be talking about with our lovely guest, Mullet, here, who's below me, is we're going to be focusing on groupthink. Is it bad or good? And political correctness, can it actually do what it's supposed to? Because I'm going to argue it has done nothing of what it aims to do. And you know what? I will leave it to our guest to choose what he wants to talk about first. Why don't you introduce yourself, Darth?
Sure thing. Can everyone hear me? Hopefully it's tested, all worked out.
Yeah, we're all good.
Yeah, you sound good.
Oh, so this is just proof right now that if you Google stuff while you're listening, you too can make it onto this podcast or talk show. So, listen to all.
Yes, very true.
But yeah, so this is these are two topics that often get. It's very common in my world, so I am a little bit of a background. I myself work in schools. I'm a mental health worker in schools, and my background is social work. So the ideas of groupthink and, well, political correctness are well and abundant in my world. And I think, oh man, I have no idea which one to start with. So let's just, I got a coin in my hand, so I'm just going to flip it. I'll say heads, groupthink, political correctness, tails.
Hey, is that politically correct?
It's tails, so why don't we start with that then?
All right, political correctness. Basically, what I want to talk about here is the well, we all know the goal of political correctness. Let's not deal with the hang-ups and stuff. We all know the goal. The goal is to make society more accepting, and it's meant to make people feel less alienated. I'm going to argue. I'm going to take the Dr. Seuss argument. I always have. Why be an individual, but why do you want to stand? I view it, we're all humans. And I'm not saying don't be politically correct. I'm not saying don't be mindful of other people's backgrounds or heritages. But what I am saying is don't throw it in people's faces and make them. Tolerance is not acceptance. And what political correctness is meant to achieve is tolerance, not acceptance. If you don't accept what that person A is doing, it doesn't matter. You have every right to not accept it, but you have to tolerate it. Because what they're doing is not against the law, and it's part of society. And I argue, and please, everyone chime in on this, I argue it doesn't do that. I argue it pushes people to thinking that it has to be acceptance. And then if you don't accept it and you just tolerate it, well, you're here. You're a villain. You're basically treated as if you don't understand a problem when it could very well you understand it. You just personally don't feel right with it. It takes the idea of outward. Because I look at it from outward and inward. Inward is acceptance, outward is tolerance. And the idea of political correctness, it's supposed to be a blanket of tolerance across the world. And then it would bleed into acceptance. But to see people, like, I watch streams or I watch people basically scream at people in the face because they don't accept it. Because they're being tolerant, but they're not being accepting. And they're seen as in the wrong. When it's not fair in my position. Anyone? Thoughts? Anyone? Chime in now, or else I'll start picking you out by, piece by piece.
I mean, political correctness tends to come in many forms. It depends on the level, I guess, of each person's select choice, I guess, of social, political justice, or whatever you want to, people call it these days. I like to think of it as SJWs in my own head. Because it's usually what it is nowadays. Facebook, it's a way to curb your mind on social medias and live streams. So you're promoting positivity or whatever they think is feeling better for their own lives.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of minding their own business and doing whatever the fuck they do.
The best example I have of that is I was at a party in Toronto. And this is the first time it ever happened in my life. And I'm just sitting down in the backyard, enjoying myself. And every single person that came to that party, they introduced themselves to everyone at the party. And they said, hey, my name is this and this, and this is my pronoun. This is how I want you to refer to me. This is my pronoun. And then I saw them doing this, and I'm thinking to myself, like, fuck, I need to think of an answer to this. They're going to ask me what my pronouns are and stuff. So that's where I coined a phrase, and I will say it now so it is forever coined on the internet. My phrase is, I don't believe in segregation. Call me whatever the fuck you want. And every time, and I said that to a couple people, and it rattled people. Like, some of the people I said that to, it did not in the wrong way either. They just looked at me. One transgender male looked at me, and he just froze at me, just didn't know what to say. And then eventually, after about a minute, he's like, "I'm not there yet, but you're beyond me," and just shook my hand. And I'm like, dude, in my mind, dude, I'm Jewish. I was raised to not be segregated. You don't want to. I've learned what happens when my people get pushed out into the forefront, and we don't do that. We like to just blend in.
Yeah, fair enough. For me, it's just more like, what's your name? And I'll call you by your name. You know, like, it's, I'm sure, you know, there'll be moments where the only way, personally, for me, when it comes to discussing someone's, well, saying the specific topic of pronouns, usually only really comes up when I'm talking about that person to somebody else. I don't really look at somebody and call them by whatever they're preferred. Mm-hmm. I call them by their name or who they are. So it seems odd in certain regards, you know, but I mean.
Huh. And I think that what we're getting at here, what it sounds like to me, is there's no real difference in calling someone by their name versus pronouns, because both of them are what people prefer to be called, right? It's like the, whether it's he, she, they, them, you know, all of that, that's no different than being called a certain name. It's like, you know, if I changed my name, if I identified with a different name, people wouldn't really have necessarily an issue with that. So it's that same thing. I think it's because societally we are used to, in if we to bounce around to that group think, right? The group think in society is that, oh, everyone that looks like this is he, him. Everyone that looks like this or has these characteristics is she, her, whatever. But it's no different than with a name. And it's just more effort is what I see it as. So it's, you know, calling someone by their proper pronouns is no different than calling them by their name. It's like, I have, like, my name in real life, it's long and boring, but I go by, like, a nickname or a shortened version, right?
So let's...
That could be considered...
Let's...
If someone was calling me by my full name, I'd be like, actually, I prefer this one, right? And there's no one takes offense to that. But then someone takes offense when it's about the he, she, or pronouns part.
Well, let's dive into that a bit. Since you and Sarah both work in schools, I'm sure you must have come up to maybe like a younger adolescent who's just coming into your school and decides maybe they're one way, like maybe they're one way, or maybe they're switching, or maybe they're in the middle of process of finding themselves. And how do you approach that as an educator, or how are you told to approach that? How do you, especially when you see that in class, especially if they're getting animosity, like How do you promote political correctness and good groupthink without pushing an agenda? How do you balance it?
So I've been working at a Christian school, so that is quite the question.
Oh, I know. That's why I really wanted you here.
especially when it comes to transgender people or people who are gay or just LGBTQ in general, the school actually, the last few years, has literally been fighting their own little war with the government over these issues and trying to make it so they don't have to follow the same rules as other schools, which I always kind of kept my opinions about that quiet because mine did not matter. But at the same time, there was a student who was somewhat openly transgender. And by somewhat openly, he certainly was not open about it. He'd never talked about it to any adults. But you could tell that he did to the kids. And you could tell that it was causing him a lot of problems. So I don't necessarily know how to answer your question because the truth is, at the school I worked at, it was just handled incredibly poorly, very, very hurtfully, and very, very bad.
I have an idea on that. I think that could be something perhaps touched on more in sexual education, perhaps. Because even for me as a kid, growing up, well, that's fair. But I mean, just in general in school, it took me a bit to understand those kind of, that needs and how people are different in that regard, because I didn't get it until high school, that there is that line of difference between what is somebody's got going on and what somebody doesn't, you know?
Yeah,
and
that's I agree. Good.
But I didn't, that wasn't knowledge I had until I was a younger man, as opposed to when I was a kid, I knew more about myself than anybody else.
I completely agree with that. When I was a kid, I knew that I was bisexual from a young age. From the time I hit junior high, I knew I liked both sexes. The problem was, and I agree with your point too, like sexual education. I went to a very white, I didn't go to a Christian school, but I went to a very white school. And it was a very small elementary junior high where being bisexual or not being straight was seen as bad. And so I was pretty much trained that way. And even in high school, it took a lot for me to kind of find my own. It wasn't until I finally basically started going to university that I kind of found a level of acceptance. But I mean, as all of you can attest, I never speak openly about it. And it's not because I'm ashamed of it. I completely wear it on my chest. I don't see the point. And this is where it crosses the line for me, is I don't see the point of throwing it in everyone's face.
I've known you for 8 years, and I found out you were bisexual last Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. You've known me for 8 years, and you found out, and it's not that I'm ashamed of it. I just, I don't see it as something, I don't understand the need to throw it in someone's face. Although, I will secede, I do understand the need to be open about something. Especially if you've been hiding it, and then you have that urge to finally just yell out in the street about it. And I get that. And that's why I support the Pride Parade. I do not support naked people in the fucking streets.
Yeah.
Anytime I fucking see that, that fucking disgusts me and is disgraceful.
It sounds to me like part of what you're saying is that it's something that's important to you, but it's not the only important thing about you.
It doesn't define me. It's a part of my character, but, and I find that some people, like, and I won't say who, but I do know people who their gender identity is starting to define their life. And that's a huge problem.
If I step in here,
go for
going
it.
Back to a little bit of your original question, you were talking about, about not pushing an agenda. And to be frank, I think we're never not pushing agendas.
Oh,
you know, our belief systems are, that's what we're teaching, right? And so going back to that first question about, like, within schools, it's about, for myself, it's about role modeling. But again, you're role modeling the behaviors and values and beliefs that you believe or that you think others should also have. And that's what we're always doing. Now it's just sometimes those beliefs are pushed against certain individuals. And when we talk about identity and like sexual identity and all that, like when someone, I had students, like I run several groups and stuff, and like a student in middle school, they are a biological girl, but they wanted to go by male, and it was like, okay, this is your name, front, cool, great, thanks for sharing, and then just went in. That was enough acknowledgement from my half to understand, because it's about normalizing is a big key, and for those that are, you know, taking it on as like their identities, well, if you kind of use empathy and you bring it back to their lives going up, now where for yourself, C4, maybe being bi wasn't a big deal because, you know, you still like girls and you were still a bit of a part of the, it was never something that, I don't know if you were ever really shamed about.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's in some families and in some, again, small towns or whatever, when we have that groupthink, if we, again, go to that groupthink of this is believed or this is pushed as bad or negative, well, if you're growing up gay and or trans or whatever it might be, and all around you, they're saying that's disgusting, that's shameful, like this is horrible, and you grow up with this immense feeling of shame for just being who you are, that holds on someone. And so, you know, for someone to be able to be open about who they are and like admits like, hey, I'm straight or I'm gay or I'm trans or whatever, and being accepted for who they are, like, I think that in itself is a bit of a drug, right? It's that, it's like, oh my God, like, I'm not being judged for it. And not only is it a weight off their shoulders, but it's something that they're now proud of.
And I get that.
You get that feeling.
I would never argue that.
Going up.
My position is, and that's great, but my position is there is a point where it goes too far. Like, mm-hmm. it's the idea of no longer are you looking for equality, you're looking for vengeance. But in political science they call it equality versus vengeance. At what point are you looking for equality and at what point you're looking for vengeance? Like the Rwanda, like I know this is a horrible thing to bring up in comparison, but in political science they always call the Rwandan genocide. It's not that the Hutus were looking for equality, they were looking for vengeance. Where in another example I used to know the other one. It's a Chinese example where Taiwan, they're just looking for equality, and it's why they only pushed so far and then they stopped. And it's a point, it's a point of, do you ask yourself, or what point do you stop? Can you recognize as yourself? I mean, I guess I'm being a little scattered here, but so just to focus it down, I'm just saying, you're right, but at what point do we look at the world and say, okay, I have my victory, now let's build together to actually make a society or an entire community that actually may not think this way, but at least is starting to, rather than forcing yourself, because that, I think that's where you get a lot of pushback, is where it feels like it's being forced on people. I mean, best way to say it.
Instead of trying to infringe on someone's personal space or their beliefs or something, right? You should be free to believe what you want to believe, but at the same time, you should also be free to learn and free to be accepted and free to be yourself, right? So it's that fine line, I'd say, and it's always tough for each person to draw their line, to limit themselves in a sorts, I guess would say, is the way for that.
And while you should be free to believe what you want, you should not be free to be hateful and hurtful to other people.
Yeah.
Because you don't believe the same thing as you.
But
they're also free to believe what they want.
But
exactly.
you cannot influence the way people think, and that's why you have to push for tolerance over acceptance. Because if you push for acceptance,
arguably we are influencing each other in, again, everything we do.
Mm-hmm.
And when we believe, it's, you know, I think of like sharing information is so important, because a lot of the issues we have today is that lack of tolerance or that kind of stubbornness.
But can it be bad too?
Be open to other ones.
I mean, a little bit of information is bad. And many people, they'll hear something, do a cursory search on Google. I've done it many times on this show, and then they'll start spewing that as fact, where I will say I've just searched it on Google, and I'll put the links that I search.
I'd like to disagree on that a little bit. I don't think information is bad. I think it's the use of knowledge that makes it bad.
Mm. But or the lack thereof.
Or the type of information, if it's false information versus true. But then the question is, what is true?
Well, that depends on the person learning. You're free to learn, right? Learning from all sources, not just one.
Mm-hmm.
And then taking that knowledge into yourself and not making it somebody else's knowledge. It's yours.
Mm-hmm.
It's yours to decide with how you want, how you use it, how you process it in your mind. That doesn't mean it's yours to give or to share with them. That's up to other people to receive if they like it.
Mm-hmm.
So we've kind of segued ourselves over to groupthink, because I think, and this kind of draws upon my question with groupthink: is it good or bad? And I was taught in university and in high school that groupthink is a good way to be. It's not always the best. You get the mob mentality, which can ruin it. But the idea of a group thinking together is what you want. I disagree. I think people make more stupid mistakes and become less educated in a group. And I think this is why. You get entire towns that start, let's say they're intolerant of Jews, like there was in the place where I live. I don't know if you guys know, but there was a town in the northern part of the place where we live that was completely intolerant to Jews, because they would teach that in schools.
I did not know that.
Look up. I can put the case. The teacher's name was Vriend, Vriend.
Say no. Let's not set up a demon hunt here in our own regards.
But
for yourself, but don't pursue anything against anybody else.
But he would teach in schools that the Holocaust didn't happen and that Jews were lying, and that whole town started to believe that, and then they started petitioning Israel to get rid of Yad Vashem because of this. And it took like and then there's a whole story to that, but the idea is that when you do groupthink, or when you're taught groupthink, you're also taught it in a way that you imagine everyone to be educated, everyone to be free thinking enough that they're going to do the research as well as everyone else, and then sit around. I think the problem is 2/3 of the planet doesn't. They're just hearing something and they repeat it.
I think groupthink might work to a certain level. I think like perhaps too many people in a setting can definitely corrupt that mindset. Where I think, I'm not sure on like the data of what more groups or less groups or how many people in a group might be ideal, but I think it would come down to say a certain number, and those individuals obviously, like said, are, you know, he has that mindset of are they coming with knowledge, are they coming with research, have they done their own thought process on things, that they're actually adding value to the group instead of adding just another loud voice and like essentially a speaker to just reverb back what you're saying, right? Or are they having something to say that's actually worth
echo chambers,
right?
You build an echo chamber, and I think that's where political correctness and groupthink can tie together, because you get you brought it up, Andrew, earlier, SJWs, and sometimes it's not that what they're saying is wrong, it's sometimes what they're living is in an echo chamber. And so all they hear is their own voices repeated over and over and over, to the point that they only believe their opinion. Darth, you can speak to this. When is that good for kids? Like, is that, because this is the kind of society they find themselves in. I remember growing up and having the internet and never having been part of an echo chamber as much as it is now.
Yeah, I think it's certainly a double-edged sword for what we hear, because, you know, in, again, it's that idea of, well, what if it's, if the echo chamber is all things that are positive, or all, you know, if it was an echo chamber of, say, science, where it was like empirical evidence and it was all correct, that's not a bad thing. But once you get that misinformation in, or you get individuals who are on this line with, again, the echo chamber is, I think the dangerous part of the double-edged sword is that it starts to build up potentially walls for some people, where as soon as they hear something that is not been echoed or is completely outside of it, it's immediately dismissed, mm-hmm. or they feel attacked, right? It's someone, whether you're on, to use the political spectrum, right or left, if all you watch are left-focused media news outlets, or all your friends on Facebook are left like this, then that's what you're going to be around. So when you hear the other part, just like if you were on the right side or whichever, mm-hmm. when you hear that, it's a shock to your system almost, and it's like, oh, well, that's not what I've been hearing, or that's not what I've grown up believing. And so mm-hmm. no one wants to feel wrong, because when we're raised in this group think or this in this world where if we're wrong, we're stupid, and that's something to attack on. And I think that's the biggest concern we have, is people stop listening and they attack, or they feel like it's no longer about, well, let's hear what you have to say. It's like, oh, that counteracts what I'm saying. Well, you're wrong then, because otherwise I look stupid. Or if I'm in the wrong, then, you know, there's a lack of humility. There's a lack of understanding, or being able to say, hey, oh, I didn't know that information. Thanks for telling me, you know. And in schools, when I go in, the goal isn't to teach. Like, I go into classrooms, and we go in and teach social emotional learning to classes, grades, like kindergarten up mm-hmm. to grade 9 or 10. And we have a class we go in for 6 to 8 weeks, and we talk about all of these topics. And the goal isn't to like, hey, this is the way you think, but to be open about it. And like the things we talk about, where I think the goal is to giving people life skills or abilities that they can create a picture of the world that is created by themselves versus created by what other people say. I don't know if that makes sense. So, mm-hmm. and a topic that I always talk about is growth versus fixed mindsets. Mm. And so fixed mindset is the belief of, like, we're born the way we are, you know, what I'm as smart as I'm going to be. You know, if I suck at basketball now, I'm always going to suck at basketball. If I'm, you know, there's this belief where anything, any feedback is considered critical. There, it's an attack against you. It's very closed-minded. Mm-hmm. And so, but with that, you lose experience, you're more resistant to bettering yourself. And then on the opposite end of this, you have what's called growth mindset. And a growth mindset is that belief of we're always learning, that we are, it's okay to be wrong, because if you're wrong, then that just means that you're learning, right? Or if you're confused, that means you're learning, right? Mm-hmm. And when they think of like feedback or someone says something different, like, it's actually an improvement. It's like, oh, I'm bettering myself. And I think that's the issue we have with these echo chambers, is they're creating these closed-minded group things where we feel like we're being attacked. But I think it's also both in how people are saying it and how people are receiving it. Like today, I mean, not to go too political, but like Black Lives Movement, right, mm. is such a hot topic. You know, and it's, I think it's about how people are going about, and where it's, you know, there's riots, there's a lot of anger, and going back to what you said earlier, C4, about is it vengeance or is it equality, right? Mm-hmm. And I think you've got this blend of people who are intentionally good intentioned, but then people choose to see the negative ones, right? On both sides, like, well, Proud Boys represent all of these sides, or Antifa is a terrorist organization that represents everyone that believes in Black Lives Matter.
So, exactly. You know, you have these
extremes becoming the belief, or they're becoming the, well, this is what they represent, versus, well, that's what some people represent, but let's hear about everyone else, you know?
So Insaniac wrote in the chat, totally agree. Some people take things personally as an insult to their everyday lives. Not enough people look at the criticism, think how they use it to better themselves or others. And yeah, no, I agree with both of you. You're dead right. Some people just, it's a mix of both groups looking at it from the wrong perspective. You have Black Lives Matter people that think that if you don't support their movement, you are racist. And then you have people who are outside that who look at it and say, if you support Black Lives Matter, you're Antifa. And I've seen it on both sides. The best example of that, actually, I have is when I was in university, I was doing a global politics course with this wonderful guy. His name, Professor Asante. He was a professor from Ghana. And we were talking about racism, obviously. And one of my friends, I won't say her name, white, blonde hair, blue eyed girl, puts her hand up and says, I forget what she said, but it was a good statement. Like it wasn't anything racy. It was just talking about this this book we read called Things Fall Apart by Chinua Achebe, and she was just commenting on the book. Okay. As soon as she says that, this girl, I think she was Indian, like from India, puts up her hand and says real quickly, right after this girl says it, and says, don't worry, everyone, I allowed her to say that. And I stood up right then, and I stood up and I yelled at that girl, said, that is the most racist thing I've ever fucking heard in my life. And all of a sudden, that entire class turned into a shouting match, because it was me versus everyone in that class, because they all called me racist for calling her racist. And at the end of that, I remember my teacher, big guy, African, like from Ghana, and he was crying. He was crying, and he looked at his class and said, class is over. And he said, just so everyone knows, Jonathan is right. You are all racist. You can all leave. And the looks on this class, because more than 60% of it was multicultural, and their jaws just dropped. And after I did talk to Asante, I ended up spending an hour with him, talking him about this and how it's true. Like, it was this entire idea that there is accepting of races, and then and being able to talk about it, and then unknown racism. And it's prevalent. It's really prevalent in people who are not seen as focals of racial discrimination. I think the best example of this in modern times is, unfortunately, modern China. Everyone talks about how racist America is and North America is. You've never been to China. You've never been to China. It is one of the most racist places I've ever been to. Singapore is unbelievably racist. But it's not seen as an issue. And it's that kind of thinking that really it's why it grinds my gears talking about this, because I'm on both sides. I really want everyone to reach a level where everyone's accepting. But there's so many people who will use that little bit of power and throw it in people's faces. Anyone else got a comment on that? I think it's always very ironic.
I agree with that stuff. And I've heard something very, very similar. I have a friend who works in TSA, and that's he works the boards, and he has said, like, people going through, like, he has never met a more racist group, or I don't want to, again, that I don't want to group them all out, but he says a lot of the individuals, the Chinese individuals that he meets, are white racist. And I think this is almost an ironic twist, a bit of a Western focus, right? Because it's our media is Western focused. It's us focused. So it's this for the longest time. This is the racism that we deal with. Whereas I think it could be argued around the world, everyone deals with their own types of racism.
And you know,
again, China for sure, they have a huge racist problem against Muslims, right? There's this big issue going on with the, I can't remember how to pronounce their thing, but those encampments with the Muslim groups in China. And like, that is huge, but it's not discussed because it's not here. It's not in North America.
And don't get us wrong, we're not minimizing the Black Lives Matter movement. I do support the idea that Black people are being killed by the thousands in America. And I mean, it's been a joke for 30 years. Oh, it's a cop. He's not going to shoot the white guy. He's going to shoot the black guy. Like, it's so instilled that no shit. I completely support it. But
yeah,
100%. I just don't. So let's say we do fix all the problems in North America. Let's say it's magic. We wave a magic wand and everything is perfect. Women are paid equally. There's equal number of job opportunities. The cops don't kill everyone. Let's say we get that. What are the chances we're going to export to the rest of the world? I say zero.
Zero.
I say absolute zero. And then what are we going to do? Walk into China, walk into Russia, walk into Brazil and say, hey, you can't be racist anymore. You have to treat these people with respect. Fuck no.
Yeah.
Fuck no. And I don't, I guess my point is not, don't stop here. Like, no, I encourage it here. But the idea is that it is so ingrained in other places in the world. Like, it's a really a moot point when someone tells me, oh, I'm from here. And no, it's not the same here. Yeah. Yeah. I know it's not the same there. I've seen most of the world, guys. If it's been a coast, I've been there. I used to be a sailor. I can tell you, as a white guy, I was not welcome in a lot of the world, a lot of the time. And it didn't matter what I was. It was just, it's dirt. And, I guess where I'm going with this is, will it actually have the intended effect? The intended effect of all of this is of political correctness, the groupthink, the entire idea of changing the way we think. Is it supposed to permeate throughout the world? And I mean, that may just be a centrist view that we share as North Americans, which I apologize. It's what we're raised with. We're raised that we're the center of the universe. I am sorry. I try not to think that way. But but the idea is that if we move forward with this, are we going to get the right message across? And I'd almost say no. Kit Falbo says, now you're on the internet where no one is welcome all the times by some of the people. Yes, and that's why I have the Villains Talk Show. Everyone is welcome. I do not discriminate. We've had a troll in here once. One time. I've kept track. One troll. It was great. He tried to troll me. It was impossible. I'm too nice.
Yeah, as Insaniac says, you're all minions in our eyes.
You're all minions in our eyes. But
exactly.
I'll spin around the table. Jeremy, you've been listening intently and obviously been paying much attention, sitting there quietly in your corner. What is your thoughts? Tell us your deeps, because I know you're on the opposite end of this spectrum. From what you've told us about the way you've grown up, is you've had a more open view of basically the world and religion, and how does that shape the way you view? I know you're a very, very tolerant person. Notice I didn't use the other word.
I know, that's too funny. I'll accept whatever pronoun you want me to call you. That's just called respect. But PC culture, I don't know. I refer to PC culture as the language of Karen.
Ooh, please explain that. That is a loaded pistol you just cocked. I want to hear the rest of that.
I mean, it's one reason to complain and be loud and proud more than you need to be. Like you were saying before, you don't need to shove it in people's face. It doesn't need to be a talking point. It can be. Don't get me wrong, you should be proud about who you are. But I mean, people running naked through the streets is a little much.
Well, tell.
And then telling people that you can't look at them because they're walking through the streets, like, I'm sorry, but that's free. Like, you want to walk around in the middle of the street naked, and be prepared for people to look at you, even ones that you don't like. You don't get it both ways.
I'm so glad you brought that up. People who say, I don't dress this way for attention, and they're dressed in like
bullshit.
Like, they're a guy dressed in really short shorts or a crop top, or a woman that's dressed in really skimpy clothing that's scantily clad, and then they look at you like, stop addressing me with your eyes. I'm sorry, you're in public like that. If I was your father, I would tell you to change, and you wouldn't. So you know what? You obviously want the attention. I'm not going to talk to you. I'm not going to catcall you, but I'm going to stare at you because I think you're pretty.
That doesn't give me the right to touch you, but that does give me the right to look at you. I'm sorry.
You're subconsciously doing... So Cassandra says you're subconsciously doing it for the attention, but they deny it. isn't that what people do when they go out with a mask these days, except they're smacking your face with it when they have a chance to give you AIDS? I kind of wish I read that before I read that on stream. That was good.
That's good. No,
kind of choked a little on that one. That was good, Cassandra. Or sorry, Kefalbo. Kitfalbo. That was a good one. You deserve an applause for that. Good job. You made me cry a little. That was good. Caught me on. But no, I hear what you're saying. Like, and I completely agree.
But isn't that also groupthink right there? You know, based on the groupthink or the belief in our culture or society is that if you dress this way, it means this. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, because I'm very open to these conversations because I think they're, again, important to have all these different, you know, insights and perspectives because it, again, helps build your world, right? And I think with, like, the, again, that group think or that belief of, you know, going around and showing this off, I think there is a little bit of a, as you said before, a piece of sensitivity to consider other people's reactions or to consider yourself in their shoes or their them in yours.
Mm-hmm. How do I respond to that? I see, but that for me is tipping too much on the other side. That's starting to push your agenda more than try to, because I think that comes down to like the idea of difference between tolerance and acceptance. Because I feel like at that point you're trying to push people to accept you rather than to actually be tolerant. But I just don't
know. But in that same argument, with like C4, your hair, for example.
Mm-hmm.
I know you've always had like very colorful hair, or your get-ups, right? That being a metalhead, as you've been very proud of, like the jackets and stuff, if you were to walk into a small town or a very low, like that would be pushing boundaries, right? And then there's almost, like, someone could see the same. Oh, they're just doing that, or he's just doing that to be a statement, right? But are you actually?
And I won't lie. When I was a teenager and I first made my jacket that's usually in the background, like, no, it was just like, oh, this is what I want to do. I want to be seen as part of this crowd. And now, like, you're right. Now that I'm older, like, I just don't give a shit. It's just my jacket. I always forget. So it was kind of both. That's a great thing to lead on. Can you make that decision at a young age? Because I did everything at a young age and just followed what people told me. And like everyone wants to say, oh, be an individual. Oh, don't do what your friends do. It's bullshit. It is bullshit. For every one teenage kid who's actually an individual, he or she gets sent to that group of other individuals that sit alone in the fucking cafeteria with the other five of them. And everyone treats them like shit. That's what happens when you have an individual mind in high school. Like, yep. It's absolute bullshit. And so if you don't conform or you don't meld, and that's where I think this can be a good thing, because it takes that kind of shift to shift kids. But at the same time, man, like, it's fucking nuts. It's fucking nuts how hard it is to go against the grain or to not try to fit in. Like, you're never presented that.
Well, I think are we allowed to be? And that's the, again, mm-hmm. that piece of acceptance of, are we allowed that opportunity? Are mm-hmm. we giving ourselves? And so, you know, that person, it's like, oh, they're dressed this way. Well, I have that right to stare. But again, in a hypocritical sense, I always talk about this in when I go into schools. Like, I share stories of my past and my life because I want to share, because I hope there are some experiences that, you know, I've made that I regret or I wish I didn't do. And then I share in the hopes that they don't make that same mistake. But who am I then to give that right of I'm allowed to do it, but they're not? You know, it's like, you know what? They need to make those mistakes because they need to learn through for themselves. We need to learn. We learn through experience, right? Whether it's by stories, like that's why storytelling is so huge, like with writers and stuff, with morals of myths, like religion, any religion is just a really good story with morals and lessons in it that you follow. But it's presented as a belief of experiences. It's these things happen, these experiences happen, and now we need to learn from them by not doing them, but by just taking them for word rather than experiencing them ourselves. And I think that's where we have the hypocrisy of like groupthink or political correctness is we're not allowing people to experience or make mistakes for themselves.
I disagree. I think it's the opposite, man. I think we are allowing people to make mistakes and do it for themselves, and then the repercussions or the like at that point when you make what is perceived as a mistake, you're then most moldable. And I think it's at that point that people start to literally bash you down and mold you the way they want. I think especially that's why you have like Rumspringa for Hutterites. Yeah, I'll send my 18-year-old kid with fucking 20 grand out into the world for a year. They always come back because I get them to make their mistakes and then I smash into their head that this is the right way to live. And I think that's, I seriously think it's the opposite. I think it's way more prevalent to see kids be allowed to do what they want and then they get hit on the head. And I think...
Well, are we setting them up for success or for failure? You know, if bringing that Hutterite one, for example, with the 20 grand you're going out, are they setting them up so that they are ready for that world? For they're going to make those right changes?
Oh, no.
Or is it...
Never do.
Grand. I just blew it all. Now I'm in this shithole, or I'm in like this totally like bad place. So they go back, right?
No.
Why would they set you up? Dependence.
Exactly. They need to. No. That's exactly it, man. They don't set you up. They want to build a dependence, and I see that a lot. I mean, you could even drag that larger and say, here's the reason you have private schools versus public schools is you have one set of education where people are willing to pay for their kids to not learn anything, or people who are going to go to a free education and not learn anything. Either way, the teachers are from the same crop. It just depends which school you think is better.
So in that sense, then, that groupthink... Is that groupthink setting them up for success?
No.
Or is the groupthink, is the idea setting them up for success? And I agree with you that I don't think it is, but that's where we need to make those little steps in our own lives about how are we making that positive difference or that positive impact.
But, yeah, exactly. How? But how? That is the biggest question of the day. That is something that I think no one really wants to think about. And the people that do think about it, they just give up. Because how? How do you find a bridge between two polar opposites so they can find a middle ground? How do you look at the person who is small town USA, Canada, who, you know, do what you want inside your own house, just don't bring it in front of me, versus the person who wants to express themselves all the time? Neither are wrong. Both are tolerant, but both have completely disjointed views of what they see as reality. And so how do you merge that in such a way? And I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm just saying that no one is taking the time to think that way. People are so ready to grasp at the problems that they see in the other side. They're unwilling to actually listen, like you said earlier, and actually digest what's being said. And
I think this is a generational problem, or it's going to be one that in our generation we're not going to solve now.
I don't say
generational as in it's the other generation. I think it's going to take time because each generation is going to learn. It's what we're teaching the youth, it's what we're teaching ourselves, and if we're teaching acceptance, if we're teaching empathy and compassion, then I'm not going to say it's like the kids in school now. They're still going to have their right to choose what information they take on, right? Whether they believe in what their parents believe or what, you know, society as a whole, what they're seeing in social media, what they're seeing, you know, in games, in movies, and whatever. Like, that's all influencing us based on the larger idea of groupthink. But I think this is a problem where that won't get solved in the next 10, 20 years. It's going to be 100 years probably longer down the line.
But it might be a new problem by then. See, now that's...
Honestly, I think that it's never going to happen.
I'm with Sarah. I think the idea, I think what you're looking at, Abe, or sorry, what you're looking at, Darth, is you're looking at the idea of what wants to happen. You're looking at the perfect idea. I think Sarah's right. I think that even if you move 100 years down the line, yeah, we won't have the same problems as we do today, but I think it'll be a whole nother different set of problems that we just can't fathom. I mean,
I agree.
And I think this line is just going to keep rolling like this. It's
just the problems we have now aren't going to be solved either, though. Like, it's not just that there's going to be different problems; these ones won't be solved.
Oh, they'll be solved. They'll be solved one of two ways: either everyone will become what South Park called goobacks, and we're all just a mixture of every language and every single creed and everything, and we're just one, because that will solve it. Or the other solvement is we'll eventually just wipe ourselves off the planet. Eventually you'll get one side can't stand the other, and it'll come down to who presses the button first, who gets to that button faster. And I firmly believe that this is not sustainable, the way that we're conducting society and the way that we're putting judgment on people that aren't thinking like us, or people who don't express themselves like us, or people who don't have the same ideals as us, is becoming more and more tantamount to just pure hate. And I think that hate will then lead to the dark side, as in we're all just be a giant black hole where the Earth used to be. Not cool force powers.
Fuel your hate. Let it power you. Strike me down and you will be... Your travel to the dark side will be complete.
I would prefer Emperor Palpatine.
I wish I was Papa Palpatine. That's
you're not?
I wish.
Grandpapa.
What, I can maybe... Wait.
No! That's not possible!
Best line.
In the chat, Infaniac said, I think it's also generational. Each generation needs to help the others take their next steps with the knowledge of our previous feelings. But the problem is, if you still believe that you're right and you don't think that you need anything to change, you can't teach the next generation that. And I've seen a lot of that.
And there's
a lot of that.
If you're failing, then why would you fix it?
And yeah.
Exactly.
Especially if you think that you're correct, your neighbor thinks that you're correct, your other neighbor thinks that you're correct. In fact, you go down the street, your old block thinks that you're correct. And then you go across the other community, they all think you're correct. And then you realize in your entire small town, everyone thinks you're correct. You must be right. But in reality, you're fucking wrong. But you just don't know because everyone around you is telling you you're correct. And that's a problem. And then when you finally hear the correct answer, it's not even that. When you hear the correct answer, you look at that person and go, fuck you, that's wrong. Fuck you, you're stupid. Fuck you, this is how it is. And here, you don't believe me, ask my neighbor. Don't believe me, ask the guy across the street. Because we all think this way. And that's where you get the problem. And it's not just in the wrong kind of thinking. It's in the other side too. It's in people who are for this kind of stuff, who are the same. It is the problem. They are the same kind of people spouting different kind of things. I was going to say shit, but that's not correct. But they're spouting two different positions, and they both have the exact same background, and it's just, there's no...
Well, and that's like difference between a fixed mindset and growth mindset there, too.
Oh, please define those two terms for our audience.
Well, So I said them earlier, right? Mm-hmm. And it's that the fixed mindset is the belief of, you know, that I have never going to change. I'm faced with whatever I have. There's a unwillingness to be wrong, or that when we receive compliments or receive feedback, it's taken as a slight against us, right? Or it's I'm doing something wrong, or it's negative. Where it's that if I fail, then I'm never meant to be, then I should just stop. Where there's a lot of unwillingness to learn things that are not already known. Whereas an open mindset is that belief of where failure is good, you know, that I'm not always wrong. you know, I need to learn from that, and that I need to, that feedback, when I get feedback, then it's good, because that means that I can grow as a person, right? It's that belief of I can be better, whereas a fixed mindset is like, I'm already where I am, and there's no changing that. And so, like, in that example, right, of the town, it's a bit of that fixed mindset of like, well, if everyone says this, then I'm right, and there's no need to change. Mm-hmm. I don't need to change my mind because, well, everyone else thinks the same.
Mm-hmm. And the, I guess, I mean, I don't ever expect to answer all of life's questions on this talk show. Although if we ever did, you know, we'd become super famous real quick. if we could boil all the answers to 42, I'm sure it would be the best. But,
I think we'd just be witches.
Just to answer your statement or just to rebuttal, I mean, I can't say you're wrong, but I think you're putting too much faith in humanity. I mean, I'm a glass half empty guy. I'm a realist is what I call myself. I try to look at the bad side first because more often than not, that's how things are going to go. And I don't see it. You're asking too much of too many people. And one thing that people don't like in life is change. And it's why you get that idea that, you're old, old timer. You don't know what this is, or you get that saying like, what's that? The saying is a grandpa, right? Calling them grandpas.
It's boomer.
Or boomer. Sorry, boomer. Boomer. Like, just to show how bad I am. Just show how bad I am.
Then you're one of them.
Just show how bad I am. But it's the idea that you say okay, boomer, and it's the idea that you've accepted the fact that they won't learn and that you are not going to teach them. And so you're going to let them live in the mire that they find themselves in. And at the same time, you're now segregating yourself, saying that you're above said person when you may be arguing an incorrect point yourself. I mean, it's the idea that people have become so prideful. I think that's really what this boils down to, is people's pride. It's all about people's pride. People who have no pride and then find pride, they want to be as prideful as possible, and I encourage that. But then it gets to the point where they're so prideful, they start literally rubbing it in people's faces because they expect acceptance and not tolerance. When tolerance is about all you can ask for. As a Jew, I have to be tolerated. And I mean that. I have to be tolerated. I walk into towns, like, I'm on vacation right now in a town where there's literally the Stations of the Cross up an entire mountain. And I'm sitting there, and I'm Jewish, and I'm celebrating Hanukkah, and I'm getting dirty stares. But I get tolerated, and I'm used to that. I mean, and it's just, it's what I expect. I don't expect to be treated like gold. I don't expect people to just go out of the way to make themselves ready for me like they would for Christmas. And it's not that I wouldn't like it, it's just, I understand that this is the society I live in. And I'm not saying that, I'm not trying to project this and saying that people need to be happy with what they're with what they're given. That's bullshit. If people are being treated by cops or anything else like shit, you have every right to grab that fucking stick and beat that cop's head in. I don't care if I get demonetized for that. I will never say anything about bad about equality. But I will never accept someone throwing something in my face. And that's how I look at it. We're now just over an hour, so we'll start with we'll give the floor back to Darth. Anything you want to say in closing, sir?
No, I mean, thanks for having me on the show. What an honor.
Thank you.
Especially when I become, you know, successful and great, and I can say,
have to be back on the show.
First show I was on.
You have to come back on the show then. Yeah. You have to come back on the show.
Yeah. And I think my closing words are in response to your idea of being that half glass, half empty kind of response, or like the realist. And I argue that I believe that I'm I'm a realistic optimist, is what I like to call myself.
Oh, gross.
Because I know, and it's the effect of, like, as a realist, our world is shit. I don't think this world's going to change, unfortunately. I think we are going to be, we are self-destructive, we are not humble enough, we are ignorant and so, as you said, prideful that we are shooting ourselves in the foot. And that, you know, every day we get closer to our own mass extinction. Now, that's the realist in me. But the optimist is saying, well, you know what? Sure, that might be, even if that's the case, who gives a shit, right? What matters to me is my life. And what matters is how, when that day comes, when I die, what memory or what existence am I passing on? And so that's where that optimist where, you know, it's like, I might not be able to fix the world, but sure as hell can leave it in a better place, or I can sure as hell make a positive impact to those around me. And so that's what kind of drives my work is that value. So, and I think we have a society that is lost in values because we don't know what our values are. And I would argue, or not maybe not argue, but I would challenge your listeners or to you all to see if you can name your values right now, right off the bat. And the answer is no, because it's like, well, what are values? Some of us might not even know it because we haven't, you know, check that out, right? And see, kind of Google values, what they are. And again, it's those beliefs, it's those things that guide us, right? And see what are your values? Because I think we are so lost, and when we don't know what our values are, we don't know where our purpose is, and we put ourselves in positions that we might not normally do, right? Or we make those terrible, terrible mistakes. And so, again, my values push me towards that, you know, the world sucks, but I believe that I can still make it better. Maybe just a little, maybe not fix it, but I can still make it better for those around me.
I think I'm good with that. Anyone else have anything to add? That was pretty good.
Insane, no, yeah. The chat says he wants to hear from the silent one more.
Which that's one? True. You mean the one in the what? You mean the black one right here in the middle? Yeah, we've been waiting for hear from him too.
Yeah, all right.
No, I have nothing to add to that. That was really well said. Thank you, Darth, for joining us on this.
Yeah, you've thanks been... for having me.
Oh no, it was an absolute pleasure.
I'm sorry you had nothing better to do.
right, Sunday night.
I'm not.
We are your villains, and this has been the Tillins Talk Show. I'm C4. Beside me, Sarah Vike. Further down is the Great Grease Goblin. In the chat and down here is Insaniac. And in the far corner doing our fact-checking is Sir Jeremy. And with our special guest, Darth Mullet. And thank you so much for coming. This has been great. I'm sorry that 7 people didn't have anything better to do, but I'm glad you spent it here. We're always happy to see you. If you want to support us, you don't have to give us money or anything. Just subscribe to the channel or download the app at justlikeness.com. It's just an app that we have. It's because we're cool. Yeah. We're cutting edge that way.
It changes your life.
And we are going. Thank you, Kit Palbo, for following. We are going to do a show on Wednesday. It'll be the pre-Christmas show. I'm going to have Margot Montgomery on doing tarot readings, so please be on for that. I'll probably start the stream a little early, so if people want to actually get their torch in red, I'll get you on the Discord so you can talk to her. Otherwise, thank you all for watching. Thank my co-host for coming as always, and thank you, Darth Mullet, for coming. This has been the Villains Talk Show, and thank you all for watching. Bye!
Thank you. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye. My God, Darth, that was amazing. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
That's true. Oh, thanks. No, totally, buddy.
Yeah, thank God you don't have any better, more interesting friends.
Actually, I'd like to register a complaint here because last in the chat, you said that you were his hardest friend, and I take personal offense to that.
Is now you're only his second smartest friend?
Yes.
At this moment, I just leave.
And I awkwardly moonwalk out of this.
Let me awkwardly moonwalk.
Holding up dual peace signs.
You can't tell, but I'm actually awkwardly moonwalking.
Oh, that's hilarious.
God damn it. Oh.
So this is the... I don't know if it pops up.
And I end the stream.
Oh my...